Our gospel lesson this morning is not the lectionary reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent. It is instead a selection of scripture that I picked because of the topic at hand. And that topic today is Lectio Divina, or holy reading, or sacred reading. And so I'm reading Luke 4, verses 16 through 22. And as I read these words, think about that. Think about reading, sacred, holy reading. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's start out with a little game. Have you ever played the if game? And it works something like this. If you could only have one food to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be? What? Chicken. That is the correct answer. Chicken is the correct answer. Okay. What if you could live anywhere in the world? Where would it be? China, that is the correct answer. Okay. Let's push it a little bit more. If you could only have one electronic device, assuming you could charge it, and we're talking about you're on a deserted island to make it a little more complicated. You're on a deserted island. You have one electronic device. What would it be? You have Wi-Fi. What would it be? What? Phone? Correct. Okay. If you could only have one social media app, what would it be? Facebook. That is correct. Okay. Okay, you're getting to this game. Okay. I want to make it a little bit more complicated now. If you were stranded on a deserted island and you could just have one book with you, one book, what would it be? What? Carter, you are one sharp individual. We'll come back to you on that. Would you think entertainment? One book to read over and over and over and over again forever. Life of Pi, maybe? Okay, let's see a show of hands. Fiction or nonfiction people? Honestly, fiction folks. Yeah. Pathological. Okay, let's see nonfiction. That's really interesting. Early service people are fiction readers. Middle service, nonfiction. This service looks like nonfiction. That's interesting. Okay. Anyway, okay. You have one book. What would it be? It could be a fiction work. How about a how-to book? If you could pick a how-to book, what would it be? It wouldn't be how to get off the dessert island. That's against the rules. What tool would you pick if you could pick one tool? Machete. What? A machete. Close. The answer is duct tape. And that was given at the early service. Okay, perfect. Okay, back to this, what book would you choose? This question assumes that you do what? You read, that you like to read. Let me ask you this. Do you like to read? Don't you just like newspaper in one hand, coffee in the other hand, just sitting, just taking in the world? No? Okay. Maybe it's not a paper. Maybe it's your novel or whatever it is. Don't you just love that? Okay, assume you don't love it. Let's just say you have done it. Sometimes you have read a book at some point. Like these kids, they've read a number of exciting books about the art of crayon making and all those other things. What was it called? The Day the Crayons Quit. But anyway, they've read these books. Have you ever read a book, and when you're reading that book, all of a sudden you look up, and it's dark outside, and it was light when you started reading. You look at your watch. Oh, my goodness, 3 hours have passed. That's called being lost in the text. Have you ever had you ever been reading and that happens to you? All of a sudden, you've allowed this text to order your life. The power of the Word. Wow. In the early part of the 6th century A.D., so a long time ago, a young man named Benedict left his school in Rome, and he went in search of a new way of doing life. And he went and he lived in a cave for a while. And people were amazed by this young Benedict, and they said, we want to know what he knows. He said the world where he lived was devoid of meaning. And so he was given it a new meaning by reordering his life. And so folks went out to him, and they said, tell us what to do. And he organized them into communities. And then in order for others to organize communities, he wrote a little book. A little how-to manual that we still call the Rule of Saint Benedict. It's about how to organize your life. And what's interesting about this little book is that central to it, the ordering or reordering of your life, is the reading and listening to of the sacred text. The Bible, the Scripture. The idea behind this holy reading, this Lectio Divina, was to have the sacred traditions of the church, the sacred traditions of the community, just bathe you continuously with its wisdom and grace, and by so doing, ultimately transform you. It's like the water dripping on the rock. It slowly transfigures that rock. So you hear the stories of Jesus. You hear the stories of Paul. You hear the 23rd Psalm. And it begins to change you, transform you. Well, anyway, folks begin to realize that Lectio Divina was not just something for those living in cloistered communities, that it was a practice that everyone could do, and it would change their life. And so it went out from these alternative communities in the monasteries, and people started to employ them, especially during seasons like Lent. Times when people are looking to be transfigured, to be transformed. And as you know, during this Lenten season, we have selected seven practices to help us achieve this. We've assigned one to each day. And that Sunday's practice is, very good, silence. I thought you just weren't answering. I thought that was, that was a good answer. Silence. And we practice that at the beginning of each service on Sunday. Now, each Sunday, though, during Lent, I've picked one of the daily practices to kind of go into further detail on. And so today, we're talking about Lectio Divina, which is Thursday's practice. And the idea is every Thursday during Lent, you'll take time to do some reading of the tradition. Okay. Holy reading or spiritual reading, Lectio Divina, is not really about content. It's not really about just reading something to get it done. It's not the idea that I'm going to get through it. Okay, Book of Leviticus. I'm just going to knock that out. Just read it and get through it. That's not what it's about. Again, it's about engaging the sacredness that is embedded in the text, beginning with those who pulled the tradition together and the sacredness that was in their heart. And in those words, and it comes through to us across the ages. So anyway, it's not about just reading for content. It's about more than that. It's about having a means to encounter something bigger than self. Okay. Let me put it this way. Lectio Divina is about turning ancient words over and over again in our hearts and in our souls until they become part of who we are. Part of who we are. And somehow, we have found in our tradition that these symbols, these words, capture the ineffable mystery that we call God. It's a way we connect. Okay, enough of that. The practice is this. It's characterized by four separate stages. First, what you do for Lectio Divina is you sit with the text. You sit with it. You just, you know, you look at the words, you're just there. You take deep breaths, you settle. Second, you engage the text. You read it out loud. You read it, you get to know it a little bit, and you try to think about how that text intersects your experience. Then you begin to respond to the text. You know, it may be with a heartfelt thanksgiving. It may be with a profound sense of humility. And then finally, you allow the meaning gleaned from the text to become part of who you are. To allow the transfiguration or transformation to begin. In short, you connect to it. Okay, nuts and bolts. First, choosing a text. How do you choose a text to do? Well, there's no really trick to it. You can let a devotional guide choose it for you. You can read the lectionary text, but probably best just to pick a text you like. 23rd Psalm. Read that. 1 Corinthians 13. Read that. Whatever it is, that, you know, a text that you find meaning in. Then second, find a good place to sit. You know, it has to be a comfortable place, but not too comfortable. We don't want you nodding off, okay? Find a good place to sit, good lighting so you can see the text, not too bright so you can't reflect on it. And then just sit and breathe and settle. Once you've gotten to that point, then you begin to read the passage. And just read it slowly. Read it out loud. Be encountered by it. I mentioned at the middle service, there was a study published in a biblical journal years ago about the oral nature of Scripture, that it was intended to be heard. And what they drew on a passage from the end of the Gospel of Mark. And it's at the crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus, if you remember in that scene, at the very end, when Jesus dies, the centurion meaning an officer over 100, a Gentile, looks up at the cross and makes a comment about Jesus. Do you remember what the centurion says? Surely this must be the Son of God. Now, most people, when they read that, think what? This guy's got it. This guy has it figured out. It's a faith statement. But it has been suggested by this author of this study that given the oral nature of Scripture, that what that is, it's said sarcastically. And if you hear that, that changes the whole meaning of the story. It goes. And then it hits bottom. And then the resurrection story just brings it shooting forward. Read the text out loud. Hear it. Be engaged by it. And then, once you feel the text, begin to move deeper into the passage. Find words or images that connect with you. For instance, you may be walking through a dark valley in your life. So when you read the 23rd Psalm, connect at that point. Let those ancient words, maybe 3,000 years old, connect to you. And think of all the people they've connected to across the ages. And then once you do that, finally, the final part of Lectio Divina is experienced at this point when you begin to make those connections. And that is when you find yourself resting in the heart of the sacred. You just find it. All of a sudden you realize, being lost in the story, you realize you're lost in the text. Jesus said these words about the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the pearl. That moment when you connect. A few weeks ago, February 18th, miserable night, Wednesday night, Ash Wednesday. And we had a service here. There must be about 900 people here. How many were here? Oh, five? Oh, yeah. No, we had a pretty good. We had about 40. But we gathered in here to to begin the season of Lent, begin our reflection. And during that time, we talked about those parts of our lives that inhibit us, that inhibit us from becoming the people we know we are called to be. The folks who bear the image of the divine in our hearts. How can we manifest that? What is inhibiting that? So we wrote those items on a card. And then on the way out of the sanctuary that night, we literally burned those cards. We lit them on fire, rushed out the door, threw them in an urn, burned them up, liberated. New day. But besides giving up something, we talked about taking on things. Taking on practices that transform. And one of those practices, very, very simple practice, reading. Something as simple as that can change your life. I want to read something to you. I read it at the beginning, and this is Jesus at the synagogue in Nazareth. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So how about it? If you were on a deserted island, if you are on a deserted island, what book would you take with you? How about a good read?